The Freedom Convoy goes global, but at what economic cost? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Protests in Canada against COVID-19 restrictions and vaccine mandates that began about 2 weeks ago have snarled an important trade link in North America. The Ambassador Bridge connects the Canadian city of Windsor to Detroit, and for the past several days, it's been blocked by demonstrators. That's led major automakers to reduce production and cut shifts for workers, and President Biden has now called on Canada to use federal powers to stop the economic disruption. This is not just an issue for North America, though. The so-called Freedom Convoy protests have caught on in other global cities. That's the sound of a demonstration outside New Zealand's parliament. Officials eventually activated the sprinkler system as night fell to try to deter the hundreds who camped on the lawn for 4 days. Meanwhile, here in Europe, police convoys are gathering in Paris and Brussels amid rising expectations of large-scale demonstrations there later today. One young law student from the French capital told the BBC why he wants to participate.
Je suis Adrien.
My name is Adrien. I'm a law student in second year, and I am a Parisian. I think that many people who will take part have a background similar to the Yellow Vests, this protest movement that cropped up in 2018 over low income and lack of recognition by politicians, including President Macron, who was seen by them as arrogant. The COVID crisis has just put their protests on hold, but the problems remain the same. There is obviously a big rise in energy prices. We even talk about it at home. And there are prices hikes for all basic products. For many people whose wages have not moved, this is a huge burden on their budget. On top of that, I think there is a widespread sense of exasperation linked to COVID restriction.
Well, the BBC's Hugh Schofield told me the scale of demonstrations expected in Paris today.
At the moment, what it looks like is ordinary citizens in their cars heading up to Paris in convoys whose size we just don't know. We've seen film of them leaving places like Avignon and Perpignan in the south. And, you know, you see sort of a dozen, 20, 30, 40 cars heading off. But, I mean, if there are loads of people coming from different directions, they could all converge and constitute quite a lot of cars. We just don't know. They'll be arriving tonight. In an extreme version, you can imagine some sort of street protest which could convert into the worst of the Yellow Vests 3 years ago when there was... But I think it's most unlikely at this stage. I think the government's more worried about if it turns into a protest about cost of living, fuel price rises and so on. That's got far more of a potential to get people involved, I think, than the libertarian anti-vax movement, which has protested. They've protested regularly over the last months, and frankly, their numbers have never got above a certain level, and the whole momentum behind that has fizzled out. It's now the conjunction between anti-vax, libertarian, and fuel price rises, inflation, energy worries that's got a new push behind this movement, and the government's wary of that, very wary of that in the run at the elections in 2 months away.
Does it seem there's opportunity for dialogue between protesters and the government about mandatory vaccination passes to get
into
public spaces?
The government's very, just being very, very cautious. It doesn't know yet whether to dismiss this movement as a load of fringe anti-vaxxers who it can afford to, you know, be quite tough with and say, look, you know, these are the same crowd who we've known about for a long time. They're the people who will never, ever get vaccinated. But the vast majority of you we know have played the game. And so, you know, we can isolate them like that. Or whether this movement becomes a much broader thing linked to the original demands of the Yellow Vest 3 years ago, which is basically about standard of living, cost of living, the feeling of being isolated in outside the big cities, you know, a sort of culture war thing between the metropolitan elite and the guys and ladies out in the provinces. If it turns into that much more of an economic movement, then the government will be mindful to speak the language that's much more accommodating towards them, because you'll know that argument about money strikes a much deeper chord among ordinary people than anti-vax.
The BBC's Hugh Schofield for us in Paris. Thanks for breaking this down.
Thank you.
There are growing concerns about the rising cost of living in many parts of the world. The Irish government, though, is the latest to take action to ease the pain of rising energy prices on household budgets. The BBC's Stephen Ryan has that story.
3 weeks ago, Ireland eased COVID restrictions earlier than expected, and that shifted the public focus away from the pandemic and more towards how much people were spending on bills. With inflation at 5.5%, the Irish government has now announced a $230 rebate for all domestic electricity accounts. That's double what it had announced just 2 months ago. People on low incomes will receive additional support for medicine and fuel bills. And starting in April, public transport fares will be cut by 20% until the end of the year. The union representing rail and bus workers, though, has asked for assurances from political leaders that those price reductions won't have an impact on workers' pay. I'm the BBC's Stephen Ryan for Marketplace.
Checking the numbers now. Yesterday's US inflation figures, which showed consumer prices jumped the most in 40 years, have put global investors on edge. That's as expectations rise for the Federal Reserve to take quicker action to combat red-hot inflation. The Pan-European Stock 600 Index is down just shy of 1%. Stocks across Asia ended their session mixed. To Lithuania now, where exports of beef, dairy, and beer to China have been cut off. Beijing cited, quote, lack of documentation as the reason, but it comes as Vilnius continues to face off with the country over how it classifies Taiwan. The BBC's Saranjana Tiwari explains, though, the economic impact on the small Baltic nation may be fairly limited.
China and Lithuania actually don't trade very much. In fact, if we talk about beef, China imports a really small fraction of beef from Lithuania. The problem is that China is the world's top importer of beef, and it's a very big customer. So by ruling out beef imports going from Lithuania into China, it could have problems for the future. And Taiwan, which this controversy is all about, has stepped in to step up its food imports of these Lithuanian goods. But the big question is, will that be enough for Lithuania?
And what is Taiwan going to do with all of this excess that it's now taking on from Lithuania?
Taiwan stepped in saying that it's there to look after Lithuania. Of course, Lithuania is home to its de facto embassy, which is called Taiwan, which is what enraged China in the first place. That all happened late last year, actually. Taiwan actually was telling its citizens how to use Lithuanian rum because it agreed to take a shipment that was destined for China, and citizens didn't know what to do with it. But there's another really huge element to this, which is when you stop exports going from one country to another, you almost close off so much business by default. And apparently, overall exports from Lithuania to China have fallen by 91% in December 2021 compared to the same month in the previous year.
Now, this is a case that the EU has taken to the WTO against China. This week, the UK added its support to that case. Is there a sense of what we might see or when we might see any action from the WTO on this?
Well, that's the thing to remember, right? Lithuania is a member of the EU. And because the EU has launched a case against Beijing at the WTO over its targeting of Lithuania, over its stance on Taiwan, it seems like things are getting a bit more global. Of course, the UK, as you mentioned, said that it'll join the US, Australia and Canada in backing that case. There's clearly some international influence in all this as well. And the US has called China a bully in the past over how it's dealing with Lithuania. Beijing, of course, denies allegations of a shadow embargo, and it's put down this latest ban to things like documentation or not needing the imports anymore. So I think there's likely to be many more developments in this diplomatic spat as well.
The BBC's Saranjana Tiwari for us. Thanks for breaking this down.
Thank you.
Well, producer Stephen Ryan and I will be heading to Lithuania in just a few weeks to shed more light on the country's deepening row with China. Send us your questions. We're on Twitter at Victoria Craig and at Irish Journo. Finally, most U.S. banknotes feature past presidents, but in Europe, bills showcase buildings that don't actually exist. European Central Bank Chief Christine Lagarde, though, has some changes in mind for the scheduled 2024 redesign. She told a German newspaper she'd like to see famous figures like Da Vinci and Beethoven because they're people Europeans can identify with. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.